Saints, with I can say with certainty that it is how amazing it is to be sitting at the feet of the Lord, to take this humble position open in our spirit, to be poor in spirit, without holding on to anything, without hanging on to anything that we think we know, or even the experiences that we have had in the past, because the Lord has something new. The Lord has something fresh for fresh speaking for today. If that's an attitude, then let's pay all our attention, all the undivided attention. This is the spirit that's speaking to the churches, in the churches in this country. For sure, the Lord has a word that is exactly the word that we need to hear. The word that we need to hear. Isn't that true? We must have this kind of attitude with an open heart. Dear saints and brothers and sisters, it is wonderful that the Lord is speaking these days something related with his coming. For sure when we just sang this hymn, that the Spirit has already introduced us into this kind of feeling about the Lord's coming. Even if we will not be speaking about the Lord's coming per se, we're going to start diving into this content as we speak in the outline. The Lord's coming is full of details throughout the Bible. Today, we can't really cover all the content in this conference. However, we're going to focus in the, as a brother Nee has expressed in this hymn, if you go with me to the first stanza that says, this hymn is very precious, that is full of, very sweet. We are not going to be speaking about the Lord's coming, but what are we going to be speaking about then? This hymn that was written by Brother Watchman Nee in the first stanza, let me read it to you. Very soon we turn. The skies will be full. He will fill the skies. Can't you feel the heart of our brother through this song? The creation will see, will witness the light. He will redeem all creation, and to fill it with his light. He will fulfill his plan. I can hear, I can sense his feet, his walking, his steps. What a heart he had to listen to the steps of the Lord. Do we have this kind of heart? The Lord is going to refresh us without any doubt. I can hear his steps, and I can sense his profile, his silhouette, silhouette. He could see his appearing. What kind of expectation? No, there's no doubt that our dear brother loved the Lord. He not just loved the Lord, but loved his manifestation. He was waiting for the Lord's coming, awaiting his manifestation. Without any doubt, we should also have this type of heart, that the Lord, through his speaking, he can bring us into this kind of experience and feeling. In the same way that we love the Lord, we should also love his appearing. his coming, that we may be filled with this kind of expectation, and that we may live with this type of daily exercise to love the Lord, to love his appearing. This is why we're going to be diving and speaking. We won't be speaking about the Lord's coming per se, but we will be speaking more about his loving his appearing in the same way that we love him. And I want to read with you a couple of verses. We're going to, in 1 Thessalonians, First Thessalonians 1:10, and await his son from the heavens who raised the 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and await his son from the heavens whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath which is coming. He was writing to this church. There's only a few of them coming to the Thessalonica. There's only on three Sabbath they established a church in that city. And how wonderful! But it was very special that the Apostle Paul would speak in this way. In 1 Thessalonians 1:9, it says, "For themselves report that report concerning us what kind of entrance we had towards you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." But Paul spoke with these saints so young in the Lord's in the church to love the Lord's appearing, to long and love for the Lord's spirit, and to await for his son from the heavens. He spoke to these saints. How about us? Is that our attitude? That the Lord has filled our heart with this type of expectation. I am so full of this type of joy and expectation that the Lord will fill our heart with this type of expectation about the Lord's appearing. And we need to take note that Paul spoke with the saints in each chapter. He highlighted that about the Lord's coming back. Paul spoke to these saints and to await. Won't you saints read with me? There's a footnote here. It says that we wait from the heavens, the Son of God, which means that our future, it is centered or focused in him. Our life is declares that we have no hope on this earth, and we have no destiny in this age, and our hope is in our Lord's return. The Lord, that it is our destiny and our forever. Dear saints, that we have a destiny. We don't have any kind of positive destiny in this age. Our destiny is in the Lord. What a sweet word we have. And it just makes us sober. This word has made me so sober with as it relates to loving the appearing of the Lord. With this, we realize that Paul helped these saints to love the Lord and to await his return. and not just to love it and wait it, but also haste it, you know, and fast, speed it up, speed up the Lord's return. And we may, how can we hasten the Lord's return? By getting ready. These saints, without a doubt, they came as a testimony. In fact, it was more of an anti-testimony against the age of the time. They were preparing themselves for the Lord's return. And what about us? Are we prepared? I am asking, I hope that the Spirit that's speaking will remind us all day, this entire weekend, am I ready? Oh, dear Lord, help me to be ready. If I'm in First Thessalonians 5:23, that says in the Recovery Version, has a comment, a footnote, that you can you know, follow along with me. That our entire being is being sanctified. Our entire being must be kept. It must be kept for the Lord's return. For the return of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. This footnote for his return, all the chapters in this book conclude with the Lord's return. This shows us that the writer, Paul, lived and worked and labored, you know, with the objective of understanding the Lord's return. And this, he took it as a form of a warning. He not only took it in this way, but also encouraged the saints, the believers, that they would do the same. Can we see the heart of Paul at that time? And he tried to reproduce the type of feeling he had as his objective. The Lord's coming back was his incentive, his daily encouragement to live. But so now, yes, the Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. Have you ever heard that before? Of Jesus is coming back. That's what we have to say. Lord, come back. Come back, Lord. So, the Lord is coming back. You've all have heard this since you've been in the church. Like, you've heard this a lot. But there's many Christians that believe that the Lord's coming back depends on when the Lord wants to come back. And maybe he's just, you know, sitting and waiting and just watching. Maybe just checking the time, and but you know what, saints, this is not a correct perspective. I hope that none of us think that way, that the Lord's return depends on him alone, because the charge that we have this weekend is that we see that he has two sides. Yes, of course, the Lord is doing his part, and the Lord is beautifying his bride through the washing of the water in the word. He wants it without a spot or wrinkle. But there is another side to his return. It's not up to him, but he needs our cooperation, and he expects our cooperation, and yours and mine as well. And so I hope that none of us, after being here in these four messages, would think that the Lord's coming back depends on him alone, but that we would, our heart would be full with the charge and this kind of burden that the Lord's return depends on us as well, that we need to prepare for his return. So I ask you all again, am I getting myself ready? Am I getting myself ready for his return? This is the burden for this conference, that the Lord needs our preparation, our getting us ready. He needs a people that is preparing themselves. And how are we going to get ready? We're going to dive into this outlines. In the first outline, we are going to read the general subject. We read together, making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. Dear sisters, let's read. All the sisters, read them. Making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. All the brothers, read it. Let's read. All the young people, 30 years and younger. Let's read the general subject. Making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. He needs all of us to get ready, young people and not so young. That is the burden, making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. This is the burden of this weekend. If you see the title of all the messages for this weekend, all of the ones, the first letter, the first word of all the subjects is the first word of each of these outlines is making ourselves ready. The first phrase is making ourselves ready. I'm going to try it again. What is the first phrase? What is the first phrase of each outline? It's making ourselves ready. We need to make ourselves ready. Share it with your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, let's make ourselves ready. To make ourselves ready. I think that with that, it's enough. We can make ourselves ready for his coming. The outline that we are going to speak this weekend is these messages were shared at the first feast of this year. That we have seven feasts a year, and this one, and there's a very sovereign to receive the fresh speaking of the Lord to all the saints in all the churches in the recovery. This was the first feast of the year in 2023. And there were five messages released during that feast. But this weekend we're going to cover four of those outlines. We're going to receive a lot of help on how to make ourselves ready for his return and his appearing. We will have four specific types of help that are on the titles of each messages. Message one is making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming by loving his appearing and not loving the present age. I just want to highlight this matter of getting ourselves ready. Maybe we did not have this type of concept, but it's very important that we see it necessary in Revelation 19. We are encouraged to, we need to get ready because the bride is getting ready, the wife of the Lamb. You can see it in Revelation 19 that the wife has made herself ready, the bride. We need to be very clear on this. The bride gets ready. Also, in Matthew 24 and 25 speaks about when the Lord spoke about his return, a lot of people spoke about the Lord's return, but we need to pay a lot of attention to the words that the Lord himself spoke. Matthew 24, he said, be ready. In Matthew 24, and those that were ready got entered into the wedding feast, and the door closed. So that doesn't give us a very good feeling, but I just want to highlight that the virgins that were ready enter. We don't know. What we do know is that we have to be ready. The bride gets herself ready. Because one of the purposes of the Lord's return is that he comes as the bridegroom for the bride, the groom, and that has made herself ready. Also, the bride that is ready signifies the church that has made itself ready. Paul speaks about this a lot in Ephesians in chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, 7 to 16, it speaks how the church is built up. And Ephesians 4:16, it says that the body is building up itself in love. So can we see this feeling? We need to get ourselves ready. We need to make ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. And the first type of help that we are going to receive in this message is that we prepare, make ourselves ready by loving his appearing and not loving the present age. And we make ourselves ready by loving his appearing, but also not loving the present age. Make ourselves ready. And these verses are a type of, we're going to be helped. In 2 Timothy 4:8, it talks about the antidote against the decline of the church. And he's speaking with his collaborator, Timothy, and his antidote. The first antidote that he's speaking about is to love his appearing. In 2 Timothy 4:8, this verse we're going to be referring to frequently in this outline. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day. And not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing. How precious is this word? This Paul is speaking that, you know, that Paul was saved, but there is this type of recompense. There is a crown of righteousness. This crown is not just for me, but also to those who have loved his appearing. I want you to focus on this phrase, that who have loved his appearing. Maybe some of you, you have the version of the Reina Valera. This is an old Spanish translation. I have it in the back of my mind, but in the recovery version, this translation has been improved. And it says, who have loved his appearing. It's not that they loved him and loved it at some point, but have loved, are currently loving, and will love. This is a continuous love of his appearing. It's we are those who are loving his appearing. We are loving his appearing, the appearing of the Lord. For that we for those that do that have a recompense on that day. Let's love the Lord's appearing. The second verse is 2 Timothy 4:10 that says it's the second part of this outline, because Demas has abandoned me. Demas had abandoned him. He loved more the present age. This showed kind of a sadness. And who was Demas? He was one of the collaborators, one of the co-workers for Paul. This really it really made my saddened me, because he was really with Paul all the time. He in Philemon, he spoke about Demas as one of his co-workers. But what happened to him? He loved the present age more. He went to Thessalonica. He Thessalonica So like there was a city full of lust and the worldly pleasures in the fallen, focus on the fallen. Is there another city like this? All cities today have this. All cities today are like Thessalonica, dear saints. The warning, the speaking of the Lord this weekend, it comes to us as a warning. What we need to love is to love the Lord and his appearing, not love this present age. May the Lord have mercy on us, he may have us as part of his mercy. All these verses are a key to this title. We need to get ourselves ready by loving his appearing, and to love it yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and not love this present age. In short, how do we prepare ourselves for making ourselves ready? By loving and not loving. What do we love? His appearing. And what don't we love? The present age. We'll see more in detail. We're going to see in the Roman numeral number 1. If the Lord's second coming is precious to us, we will love his appearing. These two things go together. Point A, loving the Lord's appearing and loving the Lord himself is inseparable. They are inseparable. One is part of another. It's two sides of one thing. If we love the Lord's appearing, we also need to love his we need to love his appearing the same way. We need to love his appearing. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, that 1 Corinthians 2:9, that says that the Lord has prepared a lot of things for those that have come to him. Of course, the Lord has prepared many things, that things that which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which has not come up in man's heart, things which God has prepared for those who love him. Those who love the Lord's appearing, that's us. And in 2 Timothy 4:8, that he has prepared a crown of righteousness. This crown is given by the righteousness of God, and not, it comes from the righteousness, not that comes from our labor. Better be. If we are waiting for the Lord to come, we should be those who love his appearing. We should be those who love his appearing. We need to have that this type of attitude, to love his appearing. Because he comes, he is coming back. I remember that Brother Nee spoke about Luke 18, and he compared two believers with three women, with a widow, with a virgin, and with a woman. And as far as the widow in Luke 18, he compared the believers to the widows. This widow that would come to him asking him for justice. She was a widow, and her husband had died, and she had no one to depend on. But for us, this world is what we cannot depend on this world, because it was so evil that even responsible for killing the Lord Jesus. We should have this type of attitude that if we expect the Lord's return, we should love his appearing. Letter C is the Lord's appearing. He's coming back. Is a warning, an encouragement, and an incentive to us. It's a warning, but it's also an encouragement. And it should be an incentive to us as well. This appearing in 2 Timothy 4:1, he says that I charge you for the Lord's appearing and his kingdom. You have to have the Lord's appearing as an incentive. Brother Witness Lee brought us this in a publication called A Present, A God-Ordained Way, about the Lord's coming back. He said, as long as we have today, as long as we have a breath, we must love the Lord and his appearing. We should await his return, and always to take his return as an encouragement. Amen. Number one, we should love the Lord's appearing and look forward to it with an earnest expectation and joy. The Lord says, I come, and I come quickly. And John said, please come, Lord. Please come quickly. The brother that spoke this message shared He shared how this Margaret Barber, she helped Brother Nick a lot. She did not only love the Lord, but she loved the Lord's appearing every single day. In 1925, she w was walking with Brother Ni. Sorry, Saints, it's cold outside, but it's very warm here. I'm taking this jacket off. The Lord is warming up our hearts. She was walking with, it was the last day of that year. She was walking with Brother Nee, saying, when we get to the corner, maybe if by the time she was praying, the Lord may come, may Lord, the Lord, that you come quickly, even as we could just walk to the corner, that you be there. You don't have to wait till next year. She wrote this news like that. Do we expect and await the Lord's return in this way? Just like the sister Barber, or how she shared her brother me, we must have the same type of heart for number two. We should have a living that loves the Lord's appearing. This causes not us not to be discouraged, but to remain faithful to the end. And we should not be discouraged because the Lord is coming back. This needs to be a daily living by all of us. Every Lord's table reminds us of this. The Lord's table that we have once a week, 1 Corinthians 11, he spoke of this table. And I will not partake of this until we all have it together. And do this in my memory. Excuse me. Every week that we come together, we must remember the Lord's coming. After tomorrow, after we break the bread, maybe we will sing. I'm not saying that we should sing this or that. We should let the Spirit lead us to which hymns to sing. But let us all love the Lord's return. Roman numeral two. Do not love the world, not the things in the world. If anyone loves the Lord, love for the Father is not in him. So we already talked about loving his appearing, but now we're going to talk about what not to love, not loving the Lord's the present age. Letter A, the world is an evil system arranged systematically by Satan. Satan has been working on arranging the evil system in a systematic way to it's, in First John, it says that do not love the world, not the things that are in the world. What are the things that are in the world? The desires of the eye and the vainglory of life, this does not come from the Father. This comes from the world. The world is this kind of system that Satan made up and established, and it has been developed through the ages to usurp men, to satisfy the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes that are in the fallen man. I remember that when I was about 14, when I was 14 years old, I was born, I mean, I was raised in Christianity. But I had a lot of experiences, solid experiences with the Lord. And one Lord's Day night, when I was leaving the closed table, I used to do this at that time. There used to be some feasts in the, you know, in the city, in the, I stopped by these type of, these, I was on my way home. I was just stopping. I stopped by. I passed by, and as I was approaching in this these places, there was a sensation within me that I saw things, you know, kind of worldly, lustful things, and then several, you know, things, and my entire heart was just full of, you know, I heard this kind of or felt, had this kind of sensation that this is the world, and do not love this world. And then I had a feeling to really just run home, and I ran home, and my mother even asked me, and I answered, it's like it's really running from the world. Number one, God created man to live on the earth for the fulfillment of his purpose. But his enemy, Satan, God created man that so that he will be representing man. But his enemy, in order to usurp, that God created man, formed the anti-God world system on this earth by systematizing people with culture, education, industry, commerce, entertainment, and religion. So we see that the world is a system that the enemy of God who established and made up this system. We can see this in Genesis 1, I'm sorry, Genesis 4. So we're going to go Genesis 4. Genesis 4:16-24. This is the world that he created. And in Genesis 4:16. Four 21, he says the brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all that played the lyre and pipe. And you know, talk about, oh, this is a type of entertainment, and Satan was a good merchant and a musician. We see that today, and we see this other name, Tubal-Cain. He was the one that a forger of every cutting instrument of bronze and iron. This is the beginning of a culture without God. This is the beginning of type of culture that Satan started in Genesis 4 and started to develop and developed, has been developed since. Man left the presence of God and made up this world like full of music, also Zila. These four people in this section of Genesis 4, 16 to 24, he started using these four people to start this type of culture and to systematize the world and usurp man to so that man would not enjoy what he was supposed to enjoy, which is to enjoy God. I want to read to you a section of Genesis life study so that we can see how this world was started. This system that Satan made up. Zila also gave birth to Tubal-Cain, but also to Naamah. This name Naamah is to make themselves pleasant. What purpose was be for what purpose did he become pleasant? Is to satisfy man. This is an aspect of the modern society. These young women want to make themselves pleasant to so everything that is in modern culture was already evident in Genesis 4 as a seed. Now we see the origin of the modern human culture. It started because man lost the presence of God. This was all systematized by Satan. Even the technology industry is the one that has advanced in look what and you know we all have the smartphones to usurp man and you know technology computers and in the 70s I was when the computer you know, used to take an entire building in one of my classes in college when I was in we used to write code in Fortran in we used to studying chemistry and physics. I used to have all my problems in physics and chem and then I used to have all these computer cards, the punch cards, and I and this in computer used to I don't know how many of you got to see this type of like all these punch cards of computer used to have you had to wait 3 days to get a result. And 5 years later this different type of a calculator came out in 5 years later from Texas Instruments, and one, just a couple of buttons used to have, you will have the result a lot faster. This smartphone, the smartphone is 10,000 times faster than what he had at that time. Number two says all the things on the earth, especially those related to mankind, and all the things in the air have been systematized by Satan into his kingdom of darkness to occupy, underline this word, to occupy people. Occupy people and frustrate them from accomplishing the purpose of God and to distract them from the enjoyment of God. So much corruption, fornication, and there's a lot of John says, do not love the world, not the things of the world. Number three, the world is against God the Father. The things in the world are against the will of God, and those who love the world are enemies of God. We have three things on this verse that the world is against God the Father, against God the Father. The world is the enemy of the Father, and the things of the world are against the will of of God. And those who love the world are enemies of God. What a sober warning. James, it says that those that love the world are like adulterers. When we love the things of the world, is that we're committing spiritual fornication. Letter B, the whole world, the satanic world lies in the evil one. Number one, the whole world comprises a satanic world system, and the people of the world, a fallen human race. Everyone that lives according to the world is controlled by Satan. He has systematized everything to control the human race. Number two, lies. Lies means remaining passively the sphere of the evil one's usurpation and manipulation. The whole world and the people of the world are lying passively under the usurping and manipulating hand of Satan, the evil one. May the Lord open our ears and cover with his blood as we speak and hear this word. Number three, the Greek word rendered evil in 1 John 5:19 refers to one who is pernicious, harmfully evil, one who he's a very insidious, is one that affects others, influencing them to be evil and vicious. Such an evil one is Satan, the devil, in whom the world lies, the whole world lies. John is speaking here in 1 John 5:19. We have the anointing. The first enemy of the anointing is the world. Satan, let us see. Satan is utilizing the material world and the things that are in the world to eventually head everything up in the kingdom of Antichrist. At that hour, the world system will have reached its zenith. And every unit of it will be revealed to be anti-Christian, even including the money that was invented by Satan. This is part of the system that has developed, he has developed to occupy men and to impede him from, keep him from loving the Lord. Roman number 3. Let's read together. Loving the Lord's appearing is in contrast to loving the present age. Let's look at these things, the same things, letter A. An age is a part, a section, or an aspect of the world system of Satan, which is used by him and to usurp and occupy people to keep them away from God and his purpose. Like Demas has abandoned me. Remember the other verse. When Demas had abandoned the Paul because of loving the present age, we need to love the Lord's appearing and to let it be. 2 Timothy 4:10, the present age refers to the world that surrounds, attracts us, and tempts us. We cannot contact the world unless we contact the present age of the world. This world is before us all the time, before our eyes and our heart. This is world. That there is no to contact the world is to contact the evil present age. Let us see. We come back to Demas. Demas loved the present age. Due to the attraction of the present age, he forsook the Apostle Paul. What we need to see in this point, if our love for the Lord is corrupted by the attraction of the present age and what tempts us every day, it is possible that we might even leave the church life. May God have mercy. Like Demas loved this present age, and do we say amen to this? Amen. Letter D. Letter D, we see in Romans 12, 2, Paul exhorts us not to be fashioned according to this age, but to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. This is like it's encouraging and encouraging is the saint. Do not be fashioned, exhorting us. We know that this world has Satan has created this type of system to usurp men, and it's like a mold. He just wants to fit everyone into it, and he does that by the fashion of this world. This age has a fashion, and like a mold where he wants to stuff everyone. Everyone has to be stuffed into this mold. Do not be fashioned according to this age. Let's declare this. Let's all say it together. Do not be fashioned according to this age. How do we do this? But it's by being transformed by the renewing of this age. Romans Romans 12:2. Do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may be, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and well pleasing and perfect. Amen. This age, verse 2, denotes the present practical part of the world, which stands in opposition to the body life and replaces the body life. Number 2, to be fashioned according to this age means to adopt the modern fashions of the present age. This age has a lot of fashions. This type of each age has different fashions, so we all are aware of this. I keep reading that to be transformed is to allow an organic element to be wrought into our being, thus producing an inward metabolic change. How do we not adopt the modern fashions? Is that we need to grow in life. And in this, the Brother Ricky is going to help us. He's going to grow into maturity. I would love to speak more about this, but I will read to you a small section of this of the ministry. But we are told that we need to pray. How to? We need to be dressed. We need to even pay attention of the color and the type of clothes. We should not be fans of fashion, as long as we are. If we are following the fashion of this age, we will be selling ourselves short. These are the words of the ministry. This is on a short publication about those who are serving the Lord too. If we follow the fashion of this earth to sell ourselves cheap, everything, our entire appearance from outside to the inside should not be according to a fashion. Here we come to 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, I'll be transformed to the same image of glory to glory. I won't say anything further about this. Let's go to point number 3. Because the present age opposes the church, which is God's will, we must not be fashioned according to it. We should run to the meetings of the church. These are the meetings of the church keep us from being fashioned according to this age. We should love the Lord. Pay attention to his speaking. I've been to many meetings and I've seen some saints, you know, playing with their phones. Oh, Lord, keep us, save us. Number 4, if we are to live in the body of Christ, we should not follow the present age or be fashioned according to this age or be conformed to it. We should come to the pursue the church meetings. Those will keep us from being conformed. Letter E. If we love the present age, we will take sides with the world. If we love the Lord's appearing, we will take sides with him and fight with him and his interests. Let's pray for our young people. Let's pray for our children. They are always under the influence of this world and the things that are in the world. We should pray for them. Amen. But they may not love the world. And if we don't love the world, our children will not love the world. Number four, Roman numeral four. Let's only read together. Those who love the Lord wait for his coming and love his appearing will overcome. Those who love the Lord wait for his coming and love his appearing will overcome.